From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Anticipation. It's that thing that wells up in our hearts as we wait and we look for and we long for something that is very important to us. And that anticipation, once it is fulfilled, bursts forth into joy. For some of you little ones, that anticipation might be when mom or dad come home from work and you hear them at the door and you run and you give them a hug. "Dad's home, mom's home." And that longing for them to the end of the day when you are with them again comes to pass and you give them that big hug. For some of you mature parents, it might be as you stand on the tarmac of that airport as your son or daughter comes back from deployment in the military. And as you see, you've been longing for this day, waiting for it, that anticipation is built. And as you see them step off the plane and down the steps, your heart leaps. They're home. They're here. They're safe. And you're full of joy. For our little white, fluffy dog, Reggie White, this little Bichon, his longing bursts into joy every time we pull into the driveway. And we see his head pop up in the window and his tail start that circle wag that means he knows who it is that's here. And he is his joyful bark, "They're home, they're home, they're home." And his anticipation bursting to joy. For some of you here tonight, the joy happens after that long anticipation of that announced new piece of technology gets released. And you finally get it. You get that new iPhone. Sorry if you like Galaxies. You get that new Galaxy. Sorry if you like iPhones. But you've got that new piece of technology and you're filled with joy. Throughout Advent, these last four Sundays, as we've remembered some of the great promises that God made to his people from the beginning of time up until the night of this birth, we've been looking at several, each week, a different promise that God made about one who was coming, that he promised would come. And he told us about great and wonderful things that this person would do and who this person would be. And from that first announcement, God's people had begun to long and to wait. And the anticipation began to build. When would he come? Where is he? Where will he show up? And we heard the promises of the victor over the ancient serpent who would come and destroy death and our misery. We heard about the pure one who would come and who would offer himself so that we would be clean before a holy God and our relationship with him would be restored. We heard about this godly, wise ruler who would come, a leader among God's people, who would lead us to God and who would bring God's peace to the world. Last Sunday, we heard about the one who would accomplish all this would be the one on whom God's Spirit would descend and remain. God's Spirit would rest on him. And the anticipation throughout the Old Testament builds and builds and builds. But now it had been many years. In fact, 400 years, the night that we read about, that Diane just read about and I read about, 400 years since the last announcement of this promise, the last prophet who would speak of a new thing that this one would do. And the anticipation that had been building seemed to be fizzling out, almost gone, just the spark in their heart. But did God really promise this? Would he ever finish this? Would this one ever come? Must have been crying out in their hearts. But tonight, we celebrate that announcement made in the field so long ago that the promised one, the one we longed for, the one we were anticipating, the promised one had arrived. Think about it. They had been years after year, year after year, decade after decade, centuries after centuries. They had longed and waited. And in this past month, we have taken time just to remember that. To enter into their longing, their desires, to see the fulfillment of these promises. But it had been so long. And this night began like any other night. They got up. Some had gone to bed already, their day being finished. The shepherds got up and scrubbed and got cleaned up, put on their shepherd stuff, maybe stopped at Walmart on the way to get a new staff. It was broken. And go to the fields and keep their sheep. I know for you scholars, they were probably already in the fields, but there they are in the fields. A night like any other night. Ordinary people living out their ordinary lives. And suddenly everything changes. An angel is there among them. And the glory of the Lord shines in the field. Now, do you appreciate what that is? The bright presence of God. Now, he's not physical, we know that. He's a spirit. But in the Old Testament time, he showed himself to be present with his people in this glory cloud of his presence. Some kind, they don't translate, and they call it the Shekinah glory, right? And this presence had been with God's people when they came out of Egypt, and it had showed them the way through the wilderness. And it had been present with God's people when they built the temple and it settled on the temple. And every time and every place it was found, it was pointing to them to say, I am with you. That God is present with his people. That he cares for his people. That he's protecting you. That he's walking with you. That he's here among you. He is present to be your God, to be your shepherd. But it had disappeared years ago. Go home and find out why. You can find that in the Old Testament. But years and years ago, that cloud had gone, had disappeared from Israel. But tonight, it bursts forth again. And here is this powerful one among them, this angel who in the midst and around this glory cloud presence of God being revealed to them, right there in that field that they were working in just a moment ago. And suddenly, they're amazed. And they're excited, but you know really what they are is they're terrified. Oftentimes, the Lord's hosts in the Old Testament, when they appear, they're in garb with warriors' outfits. Maybe he is, I don't know. But here is an angel coming to speak to them, and they are terrified. And that's the first thing that the angel deals with, if you noticed. It's not about the announcement. It's first, fear not. Because the first thing he has to say to them is, whoa, don't worry, I'm not here to hurt you. because that's an awesome, terrible thing to stand in the presence of the holy God and around his messengers. It's good if he's coming for good, but it can be terrifying if he's coming against you and he says peace. And then he goes on to say these important and powerful words, I have good news for you. Good news. It's a word that then becomes important in the New Testament. And this word is one little word in the original language that says, I bring you good news. And it becomes a word that has a lot of weight added to it that means something like this. I am going to make known to you right now, I'm going to tell you something that is about what God is doing right now in the world, advancing his work in the world, advancing your salvation. And I'm going to tell you that now, make known that to you now, says the angel. This is good news, and it is of great joy. That word's only used, that phrase, that way, is only used a couple times in the New Testament as well, that they had great joy. It's at the announcement of the birth of this one. It's at the resurrection of this one. It's at the ascension of this one. And it's when, in Acts 15, when the Gentiles start believing the message. It's the only time great joy is talked about. It's always about this one who's announced. And the angel says, I have something that's amazing. I think what he's saying is, there's already a party going on in heaven. And we just can't keep it there. And we've got to tell somebody, and we're coming to tell you. What we longed to look into, 1 Peter says that, what we've been eager to see is now come, and heaven is rejoicing. And so will you as soon as you hear it. And they come to the shepherds. And what is that announcement? Well, first, he also says something important that don't let me skip. It will be for all the people. Now, that phrase throughout the Old Testament is often when it says people is that word for people group, nation, the largest gathering, social, political group of people together. So a nation, or what we would say a people group. And often in the Old Testament, when it says the people, it's talking about Israel, the people, meaning God's people. But what they come to find out after the announcement of this angel is that the people that they're referring to, God's people, aren't just the people in one national area location, one people group in Palestine, but it's the people of God who are called through this one from every nation and every tribe. In fact, that's what the gospel goes forth and says, that around the throne on that day, there will be people from every language, tongue, and people group will be there present because of the announcement of what is happening with this one. This one will lead to God's people being from all nations. All the people will be God's people from every nation and land and tribe. So now let's say, what is that? What is the announcement? Well, you've read it, I know. But what is that announcement? That announcement is what Christmas is all about. Don't be fooled, young kids, and even ourselves. You know, we enter in, our culture likes to have fun at this time. It's a beautiful time. It's dark, and we have put lights up, a lot of special events, and we enter into that. That's fun. But what Christians won't do is to move to happy holidays. We might say that from time to time, but we won't leave the announcement of Christmas, because Christmas means something very important to us, and it is this. In its most simplest form, the announcement of Christmas is this. God has sent a gift to the world. God has sent a present, a gift to us. What is that gift? Well, let's see. What is the gift, do you think? What gift did God give to us? Yeah, you can answer me. A child, yeah. I hope it's not in this box. I didn't put holes for breathing. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. It's Jesus. And what the scriptures declare and what this angel said to them that night is that the one that God had promised that you are longing for is here, and he's in Bethlehem, city of David, can be Jerusalem or Bethlehem. Here it's Bethlehem, where David was born and grew up. The city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. He is here, that promised one, the deliverer, the victor, the king. He's present, and he's here. Now, you might be thinking, well, okay, that's may have been exciting to the shepherds, and maybe for a time, but you know, we know that, and that's a long time ago. This baby isn't a baby anymore. He's grown up, he's done a lot of things. What is that? Why is that a gift to me? Why should I be glad tonight because I hear again of that announcement? Tonight we didn't have an angel show up and speak to us something new. But the announcement to us came as various ones of you read the scriptures and heard the announcement proclaimed to you. As we sung it to each other, we announced about this birth. Why is that something for you tonight? Or as Dr. Boyce, who used to be in Philadelphia years ago, said one time, how is it that we are to celebrate Christmas tonight, today? Why is this still a celebration for us? And it's simply this. God's gift, it really isn't a package that's delivered to your house, is it? UPS or DHL or whoever delivers your packages nowadays. It's not really a physical gift in the sense of a box that you unwrap in the morning, but it's this child who's wrapped in cloths in a manger. And it's about what he has done as he grows up and what he accomplished for God's people. As he lives perfectly and as he goes to the cross. And it's so simple and so important that you need to understand this. It's not just that he did it in history. You can know those facts and still not have received the gift. So how do you receive the gift of God tonight? It's very simple, but very important. How do you unwrap God's gift to you? It's just this. That you recognize and admit that you are not what you ought to be in yourself and can't please God on your own. The scriptures call that being a sinner. Or maybe that's a hard word for you. Maybe being a rebel against God and his ways. And to admit that you have fallen short of what you ought to be. That I am a sinner. It is to admit that you need a Savior, a deliverer, someone to lead you in God's way, someone to cleanse you before God, someone to be your leader. You need a Savior. And to admit, I need a Savior. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And then it is to see and to receive that it is Jesus who is God's Savior, his gift of a Savior to you, a sufficient one. One who is able to do what you can't do. One who completed what you couldn't complete and offers himself for you and offers life to you. Do you know that's what the scripture says? God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but God sent the Son into the world to save the world through him. It's simply opening that gift is simply to come to God in prayer and say something like this, God, I thank you for Jesus. I recognize that I am a sinner, deserving not of the good things, but not deserving your gifts, but a rebel, deserving death, as Adam did. And I come to you tonight, and I ask you to be my Savior, and I ask you to let Jesus pay the debt that I owe in his death on the cross, and I pray that you would apply that to me, give me freedom from my sin, give me life in him, unite me to him. In Jesus' name, amen. A simple prayer. You don't have to use those words, but that kind of prayer, that kind of new belief in your life is what the scriptures hold out to as the offer of salvation, to rest and to receive in him alone for salvation. That's opening the gift that God holds out to you tonight. And if you do that, the scripture tells us that heaven again rejoices because that birth so long ago in that field so many years ago has led once again to a new birth, your birth into the kingdom of God. And Jesus said it when he grew up that all of heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. So let heaven rejoice tonight as you receive the gift of God and open it by receiving him through faith. And for those of you who said, well, I came in here, I already knew Jesus, how do I keep Christmas? It's not much different. It's to make the shepherd's words your words. Let's go to Bethlehem tonight and see, and to leave there rejoicing like the angels and like the shepherds came to do, to rejoice and to praise God, and then to go and tell all that he has revealed to you as he has shown you your Savior, to proclaim him to the world. Will you receive God's gift tonight and open it by faith? Will you rejoice and praise God for that gift? And will you take that gift and announce it to the world that others from every nation, every tribe, every people would come and celebrate God with us? Father, this is your work and it's amazing. And we thank you for Jesus, your gift to us. We thank you for what he grew up to do. We thank you for who he was. And we thank you for what he accomplished for us. And we receive him. And we ask you to raise us to new life in him. Cause the new birth to be active in us tonight. And receive our praise of thanks as we glorify you for it. And give us your spirit and power that we might announce him to the world. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.